ready. What's your name, dude?
Clint Eastwood.
What kind of stupid name is that?
Get set. It's time to go back.
Come on, run!
One last time.
There's a hole out!
It's a science experiment!
Michael J. Fox. Christopher Lloyd. Back to the Future Part 3.
Where'd you learn to shoot like that?
7-Eleven.
Rated PG. Starts Friday, May 25th at theaters everywhere.
Come along with me, celebrate year 3. It's Marchy McFly again. Back to the Future 3, a month-long podcast with me. It's Marchy McFly, it's Marchy McFly again. I'm doing it again. I couldn't stay away, I confess. Another adventure with Marty and Doc, and this time they're in the OS. So come along with me, celebrate year 3. It's Marchy McFly again. Stay here all month long and get sick of this song, 'cause it's Marchy McFly, it's Marchy McFly again. It's a 31-day podcast where I celebrate one movie, and the movie happens to be Back to the Future Part 3.
Okay, ready? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, it's day 22, day 22. I'm here to podcast for you. Today I watched Back to the Future 3 for the 22nd time in 22 days. And now I'm here to podcast about it for the 22nd time in 22 days. All right, from the top, 1 and a 2 and a happy Wednesday, everybody. It is March 22nd, and as that terrible song at the beginning says, today, for the 22nd time, I watched Back to the Future Part 3, and today, for the 22nd time, I am here talking about Back to the Future Part 3. And up until about, you know, maybe 14, 15, 16 seconds ago, I was not sure what I was going to talk about. I said, okay, this is one of those, we got to fill in, this is one of those filler songs, you know, like every album has some filler songs. You look at a Kiss album. Kiss has a ton of hits, right? Look at one of their albums. You'd be like, yeah, Rock and Roll All Night. And what are these other songs? Or like one album, you'd be like, I know one song off this album. That is, today is one of those songs you're like, I don't know that song, but it's part of the album. See, this is officially part of Marchy McFly 3, but in the history books, when the podcasting awards are doled out next year at the local Denny's, people won't say, well, what about that 22nd day? They'll say, well, 22nd isn't a thing, it's 22nd. Oh, right. What about that 22nd day? And they'll be like, I don't really remember. I just remember 31 days of podcast about Back to the Future 3. Then I'll get up, but I'll thank my mom and my dad and my wife. Probably my wife first. I probably should have said that. I'll thank my dog. I'll thank all of you, the listeners. And of course, I'll thank Marty and Doc. But that's a ways away. And to be honest with you, I picked Denny's because when I was in high school, I was in the bowling club, not the bowling team. A bowling team would mean that you go to bowling events and you bowl against other schools and you compete. The bowling club is you get a van filled with kids who you think would be in the bowling club, and those kids would drive a couple towns over to where they have 10-pin bowling. Where I live, the bowling is mostly candlepin. If you don't know candlepin bowling, look it up. I love it. The difference is, you know what? Who cares? This is the 22nd day. We already know that this isn't the one. This isn't the reason. This isn't the episode that is being submitted for the awards that don't exist, or at least not the ones at Denny's that I wish existed. 10-pin bowling, the bowling everyone's used to, the big balls, the people spin. Now you see guys doing two hands, which I don't love, but they're good at it. There's 10 pins up there, and you roll the ball down. It knocks over five pins. Those five pins get swept away. Then you have the second ball to try to knock over the other five pins. If you do it in two, it's a spare. If you do it in one, the whole thing, it is a strike. Candlepin bowling is a little different. So there's 10 pins. They look more like candles. They're not shapely like a shapely person. I don't know what to say to not sound offensive. They're not shapely. They're not the pins you know of. They're smaller balls. They're about like you could hold them. They're like a shot put, maybe a little bigger than a shot put, maybe a little small. I don't know, but something like that. So they're, you know, you can hold them one hand. You could grip them. You whip them down. You throw the first one down. It knocks over a few pins, right? You don't, there's no curves. You just whip those suckers down. It knocks over any pins. Those pins stay down and you can use them. It's like dead wood that you use. And then you could, you know, you bowl the second one and then you get a third ball. The difference is you could knock all pins down, but only get a 10. So it's strike just like you normally would, spare just like you normally would. And then the third ball is a 10. You can't pick up any extra pins on the following frame. And that, my friends, is the bowling club. And the reason I brought up the bowling club is I'm gonna nail it. When you see how I land this, you're gonna be like, oh wow. The bowling club every year would have a end of the year banquet. Now, the football team would have a banquet at the high school. There'd be like a big spread and kids would get awards. The same with the basketball team, maybe the wrestling team, the track team. But again, this was a club. So the bowling club went after school one day to the closest Denny's and we got some trophies and we ate wonderful Denny's food. And that's 100% true. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because that was me in high school. And I had my cousin, Joe, was on the bowling club. I had a couple friends that played on the bowling club. One guy who wasn't on the bowling club but did go to high school with me is my friend Eric. And this is where it comes in for a landing, because I can announce to you right now, Saturday night, this Saturday, March 23, 24, 25, the 25th day of Marchy McFly, my friend Eric, you may know him from Joggist. You may know him from Marchy McFly 1, Marchy McFly 2, Sitcom All Ye Faithful 1 and 2, and he's coming back for Marchy McFly 3. The last time I saw him was a few weeks ago. Do you remember that episode where I said, running for fun, and I was running a 5K, and I got there way too early? Well, he ran the 5K with me, and guess what? I beat him. Yes. So Eric's coming on the show Saturday night. I still need to book my other frequent guest, Jay, to be back on the show. But hopefully Eric won't listen to this episode, because the episode on Saturday, I'm going to give him a quiz. And I thought, you know, I should probably take the quiz myself to see how I do. So I'm going to take the quiz right now. We're going to do this live, live as far as live as a podcast is. I haven't looked at it. I haven't studied it in any way. I have it pulled up here. I've never heard of this website, zoo.com, ZOO.com. And it is the Back to the Future 3, the Ultimate Geek Quiz by Olivia Cantor. I'm going to put a link to this quiz in the show notes so you can take it as well. And I'm going to give this quiz to Eric on Saturday night. And I think the fun part is I'm not sure he's listened to any of these episodes. So Eric, if you are listening at this point, turn away and we'll come back and you can come back tomorrow. But I'm not sure Eric has seen the movie yet. If he has, he's only seen it within this week, like very recently. So I think I was going to quiz him without any knowledge and see how good he did. But I'm going to take it myself just to see, after watching it for 22 days in a row, to see how I would do. It says 4 minutes. So let's do this. about the quiz. The first two Back to the Future movies took us from the 1980s back to the 1950s, then forward to the 2010s. That's crazy because that, you know, again, 2015 felt like the future then. The third installment took us further back into the past. Think you know enough about the third film? Take this quiz and find out. All right, start this quiz. To tie up the Back to the Future 2 and Back to the Future 3 stories, the second film mentioned that Doc was transported back to what earlier year? 1885. That's not anything ultimate. As Marty gets stuck alone in 1955, he runs to help 1955 Doc and finds him where? At the clock tower. Bing, bang, boom. Easy peasy. Marty brought what futuristic item, oh, come on, with him from 1985 into now 1885, which proves to be a helpful tool for his adventures. Well, he does bring the walkie-talkie, but it's not futuristic in 1955. I should give you the options, right? I mean, geez, just to help out here. It was said in the house, at the clock tower, in Hilldale, at the library. Okay, let's do this right. So the futuristic items are walkie-talkie, watch, sneakers, or hoverboard. Obviously, it's hoverboard. Even though he did bring the walkie-talkie too, and it is futuristic to 1885. So, you know, that's me maybe being a little nitpicky. But I feel like Eric is going to get every single one of these right without even watching the movie. How does Marty discover that the present Doc got... Wait a minute. How does Marty discover that the present Doc got transported to 1885? Again, you don't have to see Back to the Future 3 for that. You could see Back to the Future 2. It says, through a phone call, through telekinesis, give me a break, through a hidden note in the car, that would have been awesome, but how would that, that wouldn't have worked, and through a letter. Obviously, it's through a letter. How would the hidden note in the car work? He'd have to find the car, and the reason he found the car is because of the letter. Give me a break. Which communication company delivers the 70-plus-year-old letter to Marty in 1955? Here's the thing. That happened in Back to the Future 2, not Back to the Future 3. We don't see Joe Flaherty. We don't see him say the answer to the question. The options are AT&T, Postal Service, DHL, give me a break, and Western Union. Of course, the answer is Western Union. But that's in Back to the Future 2. So again, I don't think Western Union's even mentioned in Back to the Future Part 3. We might see a Western Union sign in the background, but that might have been a Wells Fargo. No, I think we see a Western Union sign. In 1985, Doc has a name, Doc, a dog named what? Tesla, Edison, Curie, or Einstein? Einstein. Again, that's not really Back to the Future 3. That's any one of them. Any one of them. You know what's funny, though, is you name dog, you know, the name in Back to the Future Einstein for the dog was so, like, it became really well known, but they never named Copernicus until the end. Until part three. So, like, you had this dog in 1985 that he was mostly around that dog, and you didn't even get to really know, you didn't even get to learn about him. In 1955, Doc has a different dog, though. What is his name? Finally, an answer. Nostradamus, Tesla, Mendel, Copernicus. Copernicus! Who is Doc's favorite sci-fi author? Is this the ultimate Back to the Future quiz, or is this, like, the basics? Did they have, like, you know, like, say, hey, excuse me, young man, could you watch this movie once and come up with the easiest questions? The options are Bram Stoker, Philip K. Dick, Jules Verne, and William Gibson. I'm going to say Jules and Verne. Durr. In 1955, what do Doc and Marty discover happened to 1885 Doc? He got lost in the woods. He became a businessman. Well, that's true. They did learn that. So that's a correct option. He created the atom bomb. Nope. Even though, doesn't that happen in the comic books? He got shot and died. I banked this whole episode on this quiz, or I banked two episodes in this quiz, but I feel like Eric is going to do great in this quiz without even watching. I hope he doesn't. Ah, crap. I think he's going to take it before he watches it, because we obviously want to talk about the movie. Marty decides to go back to this era so he could rescue Doc. What? World War II, the Holocaust, isn't that kind of the same time? Old West and New West. I am not happy with this quiz. Old, yep. Doc always gets frustrated that Marty doesn't think in what number dimension. Fourth. Okay, there you go. That's a pretty good one. Fifth, sixth, eighth, or fourth. You're just not thinking fourth dimensionally. Boom. I like that question. Upon time traveling to the Old West, who does Marty first encounter? Okay, it says buffalo riders, horsemen, Indians, police. Were there police? Oh, of course there were police. The marshal. My God. I don't think of them as police. I think of them as the law. But I don't know, sheriffs. Obviously, the answer is Indians. I thought it was going to be Seamus, and then I was going to complain. No, it's the Indians. The 1985 Doc now lives in the Old West. With what occupation? Goldsmith, silversmith, blacksmith, Will Smith. Oh, now there's... I wanted to make a slap question. But obviously the joke is, you know, they're talking about noted kook Will Smith. The answer is blacksmith, because he's shoeing horses and fixing wagons. Marty accidentally discovers his ancestors when he runs into what territory? Okay, I guess this is an okay question because all the answers say McFly. McFly Ravine, McFly House, McFly Farm, McFly River. McFly Farm. Is every single answer the third one? No. Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't, like, this was really poorly done. Marty encounters which maternal ancestor at the McFly Farm? Okay, these are specific to Back to the Future 3. Monica McFly, Misha McFly, Maruka? Am I saying that right? Maruka McFly and Maggie McFly. Maggie McFly, and that's Mrs. McFly. Don't you be forgetting it. Hiding his real identity, Marty introduces himself by what name? Paul Newman, Robert Redford, Warren Beatty, Clint Eastwood is obviously the answer. We got a lot. I guess I'm still scrolling, so I'm doing it. Marty also meets which eldest male ancestor at the McFly farm? Shonda McFly, which doesn't sound like your oldest male ancestor. Seamus McFly, Salvador McFly, Sirius McFly. Are you serious? It's surely Seamus. Okay, next. Seamus and Maggie McFly have a baby named William, said to be what kind of McFly? The first McFly to be baptized in America. The first McFly to be raised in America. Well, that's true. The first McFly to be bought in America. But how is he specifically named the first McFly to be born in America? Yes, we know that William is Marty's great-grandfather. They bond together well. Yeah, I guess they do until he pisses all over them. Marty encounters which of Biff's ancestors in the Old West? Oxford Tannen? I would love to meet him. Redford Tannen, Glenford Tannen, Buford Tannen. Obviously, it's Buford Mad Dog Tannen. Played again, of course, by the brilliant Thomas F. Wilson. Buford Tannen has what nickname? Which he despises. Well, I think, didn't I just say it? Mad Dog? The options were Loch Ness, Cool Hand Luke, Bigfoot, and Mad Dog. Mad Dog. We are still, how many more we got here? Oh, we got a few more to go. This is really working out for today's episode. Since the DeLorean's gas tank has leaked, Doc thinks about pushing it to give it speed. But what will they use to push it? Horse carriages, pulley system, steam engine train, trolley system. The answer is C, even though there's no letters, steam engine train. Boom. I mean, I don't think that I would have to watch this movie at all since the last time I've watched all the way through, which was years ago, to get most of these, if not all of these, right. I might not have remembered Maggie and Seamus McFly, but I think I would have. I just fought through the yawn. It's only 7:50 and I'm yawning already. While inspecting their future time travel route, who does Doc rescue? Sarah Clayton, Lara Clayton, Mara Clayton, Clara Clayton. I would love if Clara has three sisters and those are all her names, but it's obviously Clara Clayton. Golly. Played by Mary Steenburgen. Her presence prompts another side of Doc to surface. Yes, it's called the horny side. Marty mentions that what land formation was named for Clara Clayton? Marty mentions that what land formation was named for Clara Clayton. Is that proper grammar? River, bridge, valley, ravine. Obviously, it's ravine. It ain't no valley name for Clara. Ain't no river named Voclara. Ain't no bridge named Voclara, because you know it's Clayton Ravine. Do, 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 do. Why did Clara come to Hill Valley? To practice law, to be a doctor, to be a nurse, to teach. She came to teach, and guess what? She failed. She gave up on those students. She was going to leave Hill Valley altogether because of a man. Oh, golly. Clara and Doc bond under the stars as they share their love for which type of science? Oh, it's astronomy. Okay, I was like, wait a minute. What? That was a good one. But it's, he calls, what did he call it? Geographical, oh, he says like the geographical science or lunar geography. That, I love Doc's termination for that, for lunar geography. But it is the answer, of course, astronomy. Next, Doc laments the loss of Clara's love at what sort of Old West establishment? Wait a minute. Doc laments the loss of Clara's love at what sort of Old West establishment? A funeral parlor? Why would he go there? A barbershop? Okay. A horse stable? He already has one. A saloon? We know the answer is a saloon. Doc tells the truth to Clara as he is about to time travel again, but Clara is hurt, and he is hurt by... Wait a minute. This is how it's written. But Clara is hurt, and he is hurt by her hurt. So he ends up in the saloon to drown his sorrow away. I guess, except he really doesn't drink until the morning. At the saloon, Doc passes out after drowning a single shot of what kind of alcohol? Well, it's not as usual. It's not even something stronger like sarsaparilla. It's whiskey, Chester. The options were vodka, wine, beer, and whiskey, Chester. The saloon bartender, his name's Chester. Hello. But only takes one shot to knock Doc out. Marty ends up taking Doc's place in what challenge posed by Buford? Fencing, fisticuffs, duel, horse racing. This is not a valid question. Marty ends up taking Doc's place in what challenge posed by Buford? Well, it's obviously a duel, but he didn't take Doc's place. Doc was never invited to a duel. Doc was shot in the back. Again, wrong, but I'm going to get it right. Answer, duel. Since Marty interrupts Buford's attempt to shoot Doc, Buford turns his vengeance on the teenager instead. Marty agrees to the duel after being challenged and called names. I feel like ChatGPT wrote these answers. Doc and Marty used a snapshot of what thing they took in 1955 to help them determine their future. Like you would say, Doc and Marty used a photograph of what item from 1955 to help them determine the future? Something like that. I mean, this is terribly, terribly written. Twig, leaves, tombstone, hourglass. Obviously, it's tombstone. Shot in the back by Buford Tannen over the matter, $50. Now I'm like, are we almost done here? We got one, two, three, four, five, six. Six more. Okay, we're getting there. Marty tricks Buford by letting the latter shoot him. But he ends up unscathed. What protects Marty from the bullet? Prayers, a utility belt. Prayers, I like. Kevlar vest, a steel plate. It is a steel plate. But is it? Isn't it an iron stove? Is it a steel stove? I'm going to say it's an iron plate. So Buford shot Marty in the chest, but he was protected by a steel plate hidden under his clothes. This was actually a trick Clint Eastwood used in his Western film, A Fistful of Dollars, continuing Marty's cowboy inspiration. Yeah, also the fact that he saw it happen in Back to the Future Part 2 while Biff, while creepy casino Biff, cokehead Biff, was watching the movie. Great flick. Great friggin' flick. Doc and Marty's plan to use the train involves doing what first? Riding it, stopping it, derailing it, hijacking it. Well, the first thing you got to do is hijack it. Doc and Marty hijack the morning train to divert it toward the unfinished bridge in the ravine. This is where they plan to drive through to return to the present. I didn't proofread this, and clearly they didn't either. Upon returning to the present, what happens to the DeLorean? It malfunctions again. The tires get flat. It gets hit by a modern train. It disappears while it gets hit by a modern train. Since the DeLorean was pushed by a train, Marty ends up on a railroad track in 1985. But an oncoming train hits and smashes it to pieces. Just what Doc wanted to happen, actually. Well, maybe not exactly that. And, oh, we got three more. This, I feel like this never ends. Back to the present when Marty picks up, maybe I also can't read. Back in the present, when Marty picks up his girlfriend, Jennifer, what does she say will happen to him in the future? Get a raise, get shot, get promoted, get fired. Obviously, it's from the facts from Back to the Future Part 2. Because of his dealings with needles, it's get fired. In BTTF2, Jennifer witnessed how the 2015 Marty got fired. She kept a fax paper reminder. She kept a fax paper reminder of it. Whew. Sometimes it's just weirdly worded. Sometimes I just can't read. Teen Marty. Is this it? We got two more. We're almost to the end. I cannot believe this took up as much time as it did. 22nd day, baby. No one will remember. Teen Marty's 2015 future got altered when he avoided crashing into what kind of vehicle during a race challenge with the teen Needles? Yeah, I'm going to say Needles, Flea was young, but he wasn't no teenager. I know neither was Marty McFly, but Needles, Flea's always looked 40. Honda, Mitsubishi, Rolls-Royce, Toyota. Obviously, he was driving the Toyota from Statler Toyota. It is, of course, the answer, Rolls-Royce. Boing. It was mentioned in Back to the Future Part 2, the Rolls-Royce. Jennifer overheard this, and she remembered that fact. And now, the final quiz, the final question of this quiz. Doc Brown comes back from the Old West using what kind of time machine? I hate this quiz, but I took it. Toboggan, sled, horse carriage, locomotive. Obviously, it was a locomotive. The locomotive time machine now runs on steam. As the doc says, you can't keep a good scientist down. He built this new one to time travel with his new family. And that is the end of the quote-unquote ultimate Back to the Future Part 3, the ultimate geek quiz. You could see this movie one time and just about get every question right. There's nothing specific. There's nothing like, what's the name of the horse dealer? There's nothing like, what does Doc make? What does that steam engine make? You know, this whole thing in his house, an ice cube, Statler. Just little things. Shoot him down like a duck. You think little things like that. Who was the band playing? You know, who was the band playing at the festival? They didn't even touch ZZ Top. They didn't touch anything to do with Colt, the Colt Peacemaker. They didn't go near anything with Marshall Strickland. I mean, come on, this quiz, not great. But guess what? I aced it. Boom. So again, the history will show that I got a 100%. On this quiz. And so, my friends, sometimes when I talk like that, I feel like I kind of sound like Robert Stack. But not quite, just the inflections. Next time on Unsolved Mysteries. Okay, my friends, listen, I did it. I can't believe I did it, but I did it. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. The Facebook page is fans.experts. You know that. The website is fans.experts.com. And that's it. So, yeah, this was day 22. We did it. And as I said, Eric is coming on the show Saturday night, but you still have me, Obama Lonesome, for the next 2 days. That's right. I almost did 3 days, but that's not how time works. I know because I've been studying time travel for the past 22 days. All right, guys, I'm done. We did it. I will see you tomorrow. Same marchy time, same marchy channel. And until then, my friends, thank you again for listening. Thank you again for subscribing. And here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.